بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: فوالله لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. الحمد لله، all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are seated here with a concern for deen. There is something called fascinations. Different things fascinate a person at different points in his life. As a baby, it was toys and games that was fascination for that little baby. Then the person became a youngster, and in that teenager phase of his life, then it was beauty and the opposite gender. And then the person became a man. And when he became a man, now his fascination was property, authority. And reality is, after man went through everything, after going through everything, all the different fascinations and all the different pleasures he went through, man comes to a point in his life when he says, I went through everything, but in reality I'm left with nothing, because the inside is feeling empty. There's a vacuum. The man went through everything, but in reality there's a vacuum on the inside. And then from within now, there's a crave, there's a passion, there's a desire for the recognition of one Allah. Because when you speak of material world, there's something called P squared. P for pleasure, P for parts of the body. The only thing the material world can do is give some temporary pleasure to the parts of the body, and it stops there. But there's something called happiness. When you speak of H squared, H for happiness, H for the heart. Heart will enjoy happiness in a'mal, in good deeds, things related to akhirah, the year after. Otherwise the man will continue his life pleasing the different parts of his body. And after all the temporary pleasure, the man is empty and there's a cry from within. Once I went to one grade one class. So, the little boy now in the class, he asked me, Molana, tell me, why must the girls wear the parda, cover the face? So now I thought to myself, small boy like this, how will I explain to him something big as a parda? So in baby language, I told him, you see my little boy, when the boy sees the girl, then something can happen. You get happy, you get a feeling. Now the little boy turns around and he tells me, now he's 6 years old, he tells me, Molana, look here, Molana. I'm looking at these girls in the class, Molana. Nothing happens to me, Molana. No feeling, no happiness. So when he mentioned that line, it got me thinking, it shouldn't be in reality, that's ourselves. Why? You see that small boy, he's 6, and there's no feeling, there's no happiness for the opposite gender. But when he's 16, what happens? Now it shouldn't be ourselves, that we're growing on the outside, but the inside, we haven't started crawling as yet, and moving as yet, towards Allah. Is there any feeling from within? Does deen, does a'mal, good deeds, bring the joy from within? So it's just not the outside growing. It's the growing from within. And you see, there's something called intelligence. Intelligent is not the man who made the millions. Intelligent is the man who realizes, I'm going to die and leave the millions behind. And further intelligence demands that the man realizes, before I die, I need to invest these millions for the akhirat year after. So when I do die, I take it with me and I go across. So intelligence, because we're staying in a country and there's instability. And now there's possibility army coming and taking over. Till the army comes, those in the country got the chance to pass over their belongings to some other place, that in case the army comes, they can move over. Till the army comes. We're living in this world, uncertainty. Any moment, Malakul Maut, Angel of Death may come over and take this life. Till then, we got the chance. Chance to pass our belongings over, investing it in akhirat, in avenues of the year after, so that when we do die, it's waiting for us in different forms in the akhirat, in the year after. Intelligence. If we look at the disbeliever, he goes for cash pleasure. He's living for temporary world. There's no concept of akhirat. Year after, in the heart of the disbeliever, he doesn't believe in akhirat at times. Muslim, his life is akhirat. He has conviction in the eternal promises of the year after, which is forever. He is living for that real life. You know, a few months back, we went to one home for Gush. So he met a graphic designer. So he was busy on the screen now. So he tells us, I'm busy designing now. So I got interested, so I asked him, tell me, till when you continue this designing on the screen? So he says, sometime 12 at night, 1 in the morning. So I got more interested. I told, okay, this is your free time, your family time, and you're giving 5, 6, 7 extra hours. How much do they pay you for it? So he gave me a nice answer. He tells me, they pay me nothing. So when he gave me that answer, Allah Ta'ala save us, what's happening today is, man does everything for dunya, for the world, and he gets nothing in return. But that same man, he'll do nothing for deen, and he wants everything in return. Really unfair. Where's the balance? And then we met another person. Na'udhu billah, Allah Ta'ala forbid. He became a murtad, left the fold of Islam. And the reason he gave was, he said, no, deen is too difficult. Now when he gave that answer, do you know what's reality? Reality is, we give all our time to dunya, the world. And we find that easy. And then man gives no time to deen, and he still says deen is difficult. Really, how unfair we have become. Where's the justice? Where's the balance in a man's life? And it all boils down to that yaqeen, that conviction. What's in the man's heart? And you see, when you speak of conviction and sacrifice, these two work hand in hand. The man who's convinced of dunya, he makes sacrifice for dunya. And now his conviction increases. So he makes more sacrifice for dunya. And he continues in that line. You know, a person, if he comes up to us and he tells us, make dua for me. I got 4 toilets in my house and I'm working very hard now to build the 5th one. So we'll tell the man, look here, my friend, we think you got it wrong now. Because, you know, 1 toilet will fulfill your need. You got 4 and you're still working for the 5th one. Now dunya has become such today. Leave needs long or way beyond needs. And the man is continuing in a direction. But when he comes to deen, the man is so content. You know me, mashallah, I read my Jummah once a week, first saf in the masjid. And then I wait for Ramadan to open the Quran. And I'm so happy, you know, last 30, 40 years, I'm reading that quarter para a day. So the man became so content. When he comes to a deen, he's so happy and content, he stops at a point. Where's that increase? A man is running a business. Will he ever be content to say that this business is running last 30 years, 60 years, and I'm so happy I'm making 100 and profit every month for the last 60 years. Which man stops at a point when it comes to dunya? But for deen, so Allah Ta'ala give us that realization, our goal, our direction. And you know, a grandson, if he asks the grandfather, look here, Mr. my grandfather, I can't understand how you survived all those years. No cell phone, no PlayStation, no tablet. So grandfather very sweetly tells the grandson, it's very simple, like how y'all survive nowadays. No salah, no Quran, no zikrullah, no dua. This world right now is going in a direction. And if you look at it, it's a calculated effort. A calculated effort to remove the concept of akhirat from the minds and hearts of the masses. There's a effort going in a direction. And it starts from the foundation. Foundation is the schooling system. When you speak of secular, secular, we go into the dictionary, very simple. Secular, everything but a religion, but a creator. Now that child from young is being programmed in a direction to think in a way, to move for a goal. And in that whole schooling secular system, that child is never introduced to a creator, to the concept of the hereafter, to something called death, preparation to meet a creator. No direction given in that regards. So the goal now becomes dunya. That's the deity. And in that goal, you know, today you'll have a man, if his million rand went missing, he feels the loss. But the question is there a man who ever considers that that million rand that went missing, it costed me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miss salah. Who considers that loss? You see, when the heart is going in a direction, then he'll consider loss only in that direction. But when akhirat, when the year after is not firm in that heart, that conviction is not of that degree. When it comes to akhirat, the year after, there's no feeling of loss when it suffers in that direction. So one is a secular system. Then we have the media. You know, when you speak of media, be it the newspaper, be it the forbidden screen, be it the magazine, we are being exposed. And who's the writer? Many a time, who's the programmer? Whose mind is behind the words and the scenes? Most of the time, it's a disbeliever's mind. And we don't realize after a period of time, reading it so much and following it so much, we start to look at the world through the eyes of the disbeliever. We are speaking what the disbeliever is speaking. You know, the person will sit with a newspaper and he'll read it and he'll digest it and he'll accept it and he'll relate it to the rest. No questions asked. But the Molana will stand in the front one day and give a talk and he'll give the original divine words of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the man is seated there and he's objecting, he's doubting, got some hesitation. What's happened? You see, this whole mindset, that heart, when a person has been exposed in a certain direction all the time, he's been programmed. And you see, the heart of a writer is in the words. When a person is reading something, it's as though he's in the sohbat, in the heart, in the company of that writer. Now, if that writer is an atheist, a modernist, a Satanist, some other way of thinking, it's taking us in a direction. So that media. And then we have An average man today has become the screen. He's on the screen. And he's so much on the screen. You know, today an average man, he's listening with his eyes. If there's nothing visual in front of him, nothing something of picture, the man switches off. He switches off. He's so much on the screen. On that screen. And now that mind is programmed for the scene now. And then with time, if he's not careful, he starts doubting. Doubting concepts of the unseen. And, you know, at one stage, it was America, it was Europe. Allah save us. Today, in South Africa, you'll have a Muslim home, and the child in that home, asking the parents and questioning the parents, na'udhu billah, Allah ta'ala forbid, that is Allah ta'ala real? Can there be? You see, when a system is running out there, and if you're not careful, then in those homes, Muslim homes, you'll have children growing up. Outwardly, maybe there's some actions of deen. You know, it was last year. Allah ta'ala save us, there's so many of our children today that are going to the Christian schools. So before the Jummah Salah, because they're not allowed to come to Jummah Salah, so we're forced to go there. So before the Jummah Salah in a Christian school, I asked the one youngster, tell me, why must we wear the trouser above the ankle? So that youngster with full confidence, he tells me, Molana, because Allah Ta'ala wears it like that. Now when he gave me that reply, I understood what he was trying to say. What he was trying to say is, you see, Molana, I have parents that have a brain to spend hundreds of thousands on secular education, but they don't have a heart. Heart to send me to madrasa in the afternoon, so I don't even know that Allah is actually my creator and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is my messenger. Now that child today who doesn't know the basics, what's the hope of Islam tomorrow in that generation following? So the thing is, where's the direction, where's the heart moving, what's the conviction, where's the effort going? We are living, but we are leaving just now. Akhirat, year after, is the goal. You see, we have a heart, and this heart, we keep it free from two conditions. First condition, we save the heart and keep the heart free from being unmindful. Unmindful of Allah. You see, the moment the person becomes unmindful, that's the time now shaitan starts. Be it the whispers, be it the doubts. You know, average man today, he's in doubt at times. Did the wuzu break? Is it there still? Or how many rakats? Or then there's whispers coming in. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one narration mentioned more or less that recite La ilaha illallah and istighfar in abundance. And then the narration continues. Shaitan destroyed man with sin. And man destroyed shaitan with La ilaha illallah and istighfar. So this tongue to be moist. That La ilaha illallah, istighfar. You see, sin, when you speak of sin, sin is darkness. And we who are seated here, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the light. The man who's out there without the iman, he won't switch on the light. We who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with the light of iman, with the dhikr of Allah, turning to Allah, we keep the light on. So that La ilaha illallah and astaghfirullah. Then the second condition we save the heart from is from being sinful. You see, when we are on a journey and we have to reach Allah. And reaching Allah is not moving physically. It's not moving physically. Rather, it's removing spiritually. Now, what this means in simple words, in all of us from this Jummah, when we're leaving, we all have to think to ourselves. What wall, what barrier have I placed between myself and my Allah? Be it music, be it chatting with the opposite gender, Be it not looking after the eyes, be it going into different scenes on that screen, some form of sin that has become a wall between myself and my Allah. So it's not now moving physically. It's simply removing spiritually. We remove that wall of sin. You see, our heart is here, and it shouldn't be, as time is going, we took it very lightly. No, it's just one glance. It's just one weekend. It's just one time. And then it left a bit of a wall around the heart. And then we didn't repent in time. And then with time it continued, and now it has become an iron wall around that heart. I'm listening to talks, I'm listening to talks. But the light of the words just can't enter the heart, because there are iron walls around that heart. So it's removing those walls, turning to Allah, asking Allah, begging Allah, and then see, it's not those long talks, it's a few simple words that will enter the heart, open up the heart, and then see a person now moving and reaching the proximity, the closeness, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just to end off on Salah and Quran. You know, if someone says to us, tell me, what's the definition of, tell me something of Salah and Quran. So it's called love language. In love words, we'll tell the person, you see, in Salah, we speak to Allah. And in Quran, Allah Ta'ala speaks to us. It's a relationship of love. I love my Allah, so I speak to my Allah in Salah. I love my Allah, so I allow my Allah Ta'ala to speak to me in Quran. You see, a day has to come in our life and we say, I'm tired now of just duty. You see, when we do the Quran and we do the Salah and the Zikrullah and the Dua as duty, then it feels like a burden. It's time we bring it on the level of beauty. You see, in this beauty, we now we beautify that Salah, we beautify that Qur'an-i Majeed. Now see that enjoyment. And when you speak of Qur'an-i Majeed, minimum right. You know, today we speak of the child fulfilling my right. And then we want everyone to fulfill my right. Have we fulfilled the minimum right of the Qur'an? The minimum right of the Qur'an is for that 1 year, at least 2 khatams, 2 completions of the Qur'an. And to complete 2 Qur'ans for the year, it's so simple. That person who recites 5 pages of Qur'an every day. 5 pages. 5 pages of Qur'an every day. Very easily, in 1 year, he'll complete those 2 Qur'ans. That Qur'an, Shaykhul Hind Rahmatul Alayh, when he came out of Malta prison, about 3.5 years in that prison. And then it was in Deoband Madrasa after Isha Salah. There was a whole group of ulama seated there. And then Shaykhul Hind Rahmatul Alayh, he addresses them and he says to them, while I was in the prison, and I was pondering and reflecting the cause and the reason for the downfall of the Muslims in the world. And then one of the reasons he mentioned was, the Muslim has left the Quran. Ask ourselves, when last we really read Quran? One is, you know, now and then casually. But is that Quran really part of our life? You know, when a person says, no, Mawlana, I got no time. It's not no time. It's no timetable. You know, if we have a time set, then that Quran will be read every day. But that Quran, the man left the Quran. And when it comes to Salah, our goal is to become sahib e tartib. That from the day we matured till this day, we haven't missed a single Salah. And if we miss Salah, after the Jummah Salah, go home, we take a pen, take a piece of paper, we write down what age I matured, what age I started performing my 5 Salah, and work out how many years of Qaza I have, and start performing my Qaza Salah. One person rather late, he heard of this concept of Sahib-e-Tartib. By then he had about 20 years Qaza Salah. And he was, you know, dedicated. And within a short space of time, 20 years of Qaza Salah he performed. Because there's a goal in front. Becoming a sahibat ratib. So Allah Ta'ala give us a correct understanding, ability to practice, pass on to others. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.